been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win.
You are listening to the Seattle Shrimp Tank, coming to you live every other week on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time from the 505 Broadway Studios. I'm Brad Berger, along with my co-host Dan Whedon. You can always catch a replay of the podcast at seattle.shrimptankpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes so you never miss an episode. And if you are subscribed, please rate our podcast on iTunes. Your feedback helps us grow and improve. Dan?
Hello, Brad.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Here we are, first show of April.
Yeah, it's not no April Fools.
No
on this
fooling,
one.
Right?
But you know, I've been meaning to talk to you about something. You know what I've been doing lately that is completely brand new?
Can we say it on the air?
It's not even a plead the fifth. We can say it on the
okay,
air.
Fair enough.
Listen, I've been listening to books. Do you remember Nick Johnson, our past guest from
Libro.fm?
Libro.fm. I bought into the whole, okay, I'm going to listen to books, and I'm on my second book, and I was listening on my way in today. I have about a 45-minute commute in, so I was listening to a book by Simon Sinek called Leaders Eat Last. Have you heard of that book?
I have not heard of the book, but I'm familiar with the concept.
Yeah, you know, and it was interesting as I was listening. I put it in my little cup holder, you know, as I was listening to him talking. One of the topics that came up on the drive was about the concept of balance. And it came about this way. He was talking about the Roaring Twenties. The 20s were really roaring. There was a lot of wealth. There was a lot of gluttony. There was a lot of waste. I mean, it was just a time of debauchery, right? I know you weren't there, but you've heard.
Until the end.
Until the end. But what happened at the end of 1929, there was a balancing that nature, that life has a way to balance out, and we had become way too far one way, and it rebalanced. And then he went through some of the other economic recessions. He talked about
sure.
that. And then he went and this was the interesting part, is he said, you know, businesses are the same way. When businesses get out of balance, leadership gets out of balance or something gets out of balance, there's going to be a correction. And so what he was talking about from a leadership perspective is, how's the balance in your business? And I thought, since hopefully we have at least 7.5 listeners today who might be in a situation where they are in a leadership position, kind of checking, doing a balance check. And I want to throw that out to you as we started this show today, your comments and thoughts about that.
Well, I think it's important to make sure that life's in balance. One of the recurring themes, if our listeners were to go back, or if you're new to the program and you want to listen to some past episodes, one of the things that is a recurring theme that comes up with regard to entrepreneurs and those individuals who have found their way to success in business is finding that balance, both in the business as well as in their own personal lives as well.
Right. And so I think, you know, and we'll talk a little bit with our guest today about balance as an overall concept, but I think that one of the things that really is important and resonated in Mr. Sinek's book is about people over profits and about the importance of the human assets of organizations and the people. And if that gets out of balance, if the people all of a sudden start believing that their leaders don't really care about them, then the consequences to that business and to the CEOs and leaders could be the equivalent of the Great Depression.
Well, you know, it's interesting because having worked both in my own private practice for many, many years, but also having experience in corporate America, and then also now living corporate America a little bit vicariously through one of my daughters who works for Nike.
Okay.
It's been interesting to get her perspective on the culture and the leadership. And one of the things that I'm constantly having conversation with her about as it relates to leadership and having balance and the importance of that is that there's a significant difference between management and leadership.
Yeah. Well, you know, before we get out of balance on the show and absolutely start too much talk, I will say this. Your daughter works at Nike. Mine works at Nordstrom. We probably need to up our game. We probably need to start looking better at some point.
Well, I because the show needs to go on, but I will share with you, I am forbidden from wearing competitor gear.
Yeah.
And my daughter doesn't, I don't wear it here, but she does keep me very well dressed in the appropriate Nike gear.
I'm sure she does. But so we don't get out of balance. Let's talk about, we have the first husband-wife team in the Shrimp Tank here. And it is Michael and Kathy Oskuyan. And they are with First Underwriters. It's an insurance agency, but it's a unique one. I've actually known Michael for several years now. I've recently met Kathy a few years ago, but Michael and I go back a ways, being part of the insurance industry. I've got some really cool questions for him, especially in Plead the Fifth. But before that, why don't you read the bio so our listeners can know a little bit about Michael and Kathy?
And just so Kathy doesn't feel left out, I also have some good questions for her for Plead the Fifth. So as Dan mentioned, we have the pleasure of having Michael and Kathy Oskuyan as our guests today, a husband and wife team that are the owners of First Underwriters, Inc. First Underwriters, Inc. was started in February of 2015 and serves the greater Seattle area. Collectively, between Michael and Kathy and their team of insurance professionals, they have over 90 years of experience in the insurance business. Their business is located in Kirkland, Washington. That's just around the corner from where I live. And they provide insurance services to small and medium-sized businesses. Michael and Kathy pride themselves with delivering outstanding service and unmatched response time for their time on quotes and policies. So we appreciate you listening today to our audience, and we'll hear more about Michael and Kathy's story and all about First Underwriters. So welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Well,
thanks for saying the name right.
Well, you know,
beautiful.
I will share with you that Dan and I have been working since about 10 o'clock on this. Those are the sorts of things that we don't want to get wrong.
That's wonderful.
We've got it right at least once. So if we get it wrong in the future, well, there you go. I think your bio says a little bit about it, but the company was started in 2015, but clearly this is not your first rodeo in the insurance business. So I'll start with Kathy. Can you tell us a little bit about how long you've been doing what you've been doing?
Well, I started back in 2001, and the agency, as you said, it started in 2015, but I've been in the insurance industry since 2001.
Okay, excellent. Michael, how about you?
1992.
Okay.
Yeah.
A veteran, real veteran.
Yes.
All right.
You know, you can tell by the license numbers from the state of Washington when they're not, the digits are much smaller.
Yes. Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing, and I mentioned this as we were kind of previewing you last week, the interesting thing about what your insurance agency is about, it's a little bit of a different model.
Yes.
And you know, most people think of either a direct writer, which is like a Farmers and Allstate, a State Farm, small kind of Main Street, or an independent agent that might be in a second or third family generational type thing.
Yes. Right.
Talk a little bit about what your model is and why it's different.
Well, Kath, may I?
Yes, please.
Okay. So with thanks, Dan. Absolutely. With the insurance marketplace right now and how it's distributed, you have folks that go out and market and they brand themselves or label themselves as either an independent or an exclusive, as direct and whatnot. And really what happens is if they made a decision and they wanted to change it later on, unfortunately, they've built the clientele, they've built those relationships, and then they have to leave them behind because they chose the wrong model. And so in ours, what we've done is we've implemented a program where the person can bring their uniqueness into our organization, and if they want to have more on commercial focused and specifically certain products or niche market player. If they want to do that, we give them the ability to do that and give them the marketing that they would need to be successful in it.
So it sounds like, and Kathy, I'll direct this at you, it sounds like very much of the same type of model that a real estate agent agency might be. So if I was a real estate agent, I would be an independent contractor, yet I'm hanging my hat at Windermere or John L. Scott or yes. somewhere like that, and I'm using their marketing, their tools, their resources, but it's my business. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes, that's exactly what it's like.
Anybody else out there doing that?
You know, I, obviously, big country, and so there's, I don't know if anybody specifically is doing this, yeah. but I would assume so. Oh, and but there's plenty out there, and there's a lot of folks that are wanting to be able to express themselves and focus on a certain niche, and they can't do that in a lot of agencies.
So what drove you to, I guess, create this Better Mousetrap?
Great question. And I'll tell you, we did because when we sat and talked about it, and Kathy has always thought that there was a lot of men in the insurance business. So, Kath, would you say that's
male
true?
Male dominated. Yes.
Yeah, that is also a problem in the financial services industry yes. as well. Very, right. very much a male dominated field.
Yes.
So I started coaching some of Kathy's friends that wanted to get in the insurance business, and it became a women owned agency, Kathy, and it started out with where we're helping some of the women know about and learn about the insurance, commercial insurance, personal insurance, and so on. And as it grew, we're like, you know what? We're really onto something here. So that's really how it came about.
Well, I guess the question that I have, because this is fascinating, I was under clearly before today, and even though I've been in so much of a tangential industry, and of course have always been independent. But when you work for XYZ agency, right. and somebody puts their name on the placard, we'll just Bob Smith's Insurance or whatever it is, versus somebody who is hanging out the shingle of say State Farm,
right.
Those individuals working at Bob Smith are not necessarily independent?
They're independent, but what happens?
Well, Kev, are they independent from Bob? I guess that's probably the better question.
I would say not.
No, I don't. Okay. No.
It's what Bob wants to focus on.
Yeah. Okay, and then
typically.
Do the clients belong to Bob?
Yes.
Okay.
Most of the contracts are written that way.
Okay, yeah. And you're going to break that mold.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Or you are breaking that mold.
We are breaking that
mold. Yes. Because and I've been in the insurance industry, and so I know this. Agents work for a boss. The boss owns the book of business. So if the agent leaves, he or she leaves the book of business behind.
Yes.
I'm thinking that you are probably marketing this to a specific type of an insurance professional that says, I want to be the talent. I want to go out and build relationships, and I want to be an entrepreneur. And this is an easy, I don't want to use the word easy, but this is a simple path to that. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I would say so. And to your point with balance earlier, as you mentioned on the audiobook that you're listening to, and today what I've learned from the millennials, if you will, has been, how do you have a good balance? How do you enjoy the outdoor? How do you enjoy your family and your hobbies and work at the same time? And what's really unfortunate is we come from an era of you work really hard, and when you do, you'll be successful. And so if you're doing something right and you're working hard at doing something right, then yes, you are successful. But if you're doing something wrong and you're working hard at it, then I'm not sure if success is around the corner. So the balance that we're talking about is giving that person the ability for them to go out, market themselves, and use technology, use all the social media tools that are available today to be more successful. And maybe Bob Smith doesn't want that. And if Bob Smith has his own limitation or her own limitation, they may not want to do that. So they may say, Brad, you can't go out there and use social media because I'm against it.
Mm-hmm.
And here you have the ability to do that and use all the tools that are available for you to be successful.
What kind of range around, I guess nationally, is this something that you're looking to build on a national level?
Hopefully international.
International. Okay. Yes.
We're really a marketing arm. If you think about it, you have insurance products that are in China. There are insurance products in Hong Kong, and insurance products in Japan and Middle East and Europe. So this gives the person the ability, much like Remax, if you will, the ability mm-hmm. to be able to market themselves
yeah.
with our products.
Well, Time flies, doesn't it, Brad? It's time for
first
our
break.
It's time for our first commercial break. So we're going to take that short break and to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with our guests, Michael and Kathy Oskuyan, for our Hot or Not section of the show, we're going to find out if being artificially intelligent is a good thing or a bad thing. Don't walk away. We'll be right back with more of The Shrimp Tank.
The Seattle Shrimp Tank is brought to you by IdealLifeAdvice.com. Everything you've been told about how to live a healthy, productive life is only half the story. Experts now agree that your most productive and vital years are the ages of between 55 and 85 and beyond. Yet our culture still operates on a paradigm that it's game over at 65. That's 30 years of lost relationships, creativity, earnings, and fun. Even worse, studies show that people are brainwashed by our broken retirement culture and needlessly hop on the culturally conforming conveyor belt of early mental and social disengagement, accelerated physical decline, and premature death, the killer Ds. They become feeble, frail, and unproductive long before they die, and they die much earlier than those who will know they will thrive for decades after 65. That's what IdealLifeAdvice.com and the Vital Lifelong Alignment is all about. We are fostering a new culture based on living the life of your dreams and thriving well past 100. We choose to check in rather than check out of life in our prime later years, resulting in a massive gains in purpose, vitality, wealth, friendships, and overall life satisfaction. The other half of the story is yours for the asking. Visit IdealLifeAdvice.com to begin living the life of your dreams.
Welcome back to The Shrimp Tank, where we interview the brightest CEOs from the greater Puget Sound area. I'm Brad Berger, along with my esteemed co-host, Dan Whedon. Remember, you can always catch a replay of the podcast at seattle.shrimptankpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. And for our next segment, Dan?
Before we go to Hot or Not, that's a new commercial, isn't it, Brad?
It is a new commercial.
There's no FINRA in there, is there?
There is no FINRA.
Okay.
It was almost as long, but we left all the void where prohibited, yeah. Puerto Rico, Alaska, whatever.
Right. Well, I'm impressed. And kudos to our intrepid producer for reading it so well. Let's go on to Hot or Not. And Hot or Not, Michael and Kathy, is a game we play that Brad and I are going to ask you a concept or a topic. We're going to ask you if you think it's hot or if it's not, and then tell us why. And at the end, you win nothing. So,
and I'm already sweating.
if you heard me go out on Hot or Not, I asked about artificial intelligence. There's a lot of artificial intelligence in business today. There's more and more of it. Sometimes we don't really even understand that's what's doing. I know in the insurance business, a lot of the customer service has been moving to different levels of artificial intelligence, AI. Is artificial intelligence in business, not just insurance, but in business, is it a good thing or is it hot or is it not?
I would say yes.
Ooh.
Hot. Oh, I'm supposed to say hot or not. Hot.
Well, first of all, you're supposed to let your wife answer first, is I think what's supposed to add. That would be hot, wouldn't it? Kathy, you went first. Why is it hot?
Well, it's not going away. And I think that as we spoke earlier about the millennials, that's what it's all about. It's texting. It's social media. It's out there and it's definitely not going away. So I think that we have to embrace it.
So in the insurance world, wouldn't AI be helpful in things like change requests,
yep.
Yes.
Claims service, things like that?
Yes. Quicker response time.
Yep.
The insured would be able to submit something and not have to wait for a phone call or leave a voicemail or send an email waiting for that. It's done. It's instant.
Great efficiencies.
Okay, so hot or not, CEO, COO, sleeping with the CEO.
Hot.
Yeah, so that's my roundabout.
I'm not sweating anymore.
Right.
I heard the CEO answer that because we have a woman-owned business, so Michael must be hot.
Well,
thank you.
It's also my roundabout way of asking the question that we oftentimes ask, but we get an opportunity to ask about working with family, but particularly working with your spouse.
Now, Brad, isn't everybody hot on the radio?
everybody is, right?
That's what's awesome about radio.
Yeah, I have a face made for radio.
That's why we're on radio. But anyway, go ahead and I want to make sure.
Well, other than our video segments,
yeah, right.
So be sure to watch that.
But as far as working with spouses, what would be some tips? You both said it's hot. What would be some tips for those people, regardless of industry, that might be looking at working together?
I would say you need to draw the line when it's a business day, and you need to draw the line and say, okay, now it's personal time, and you need to be able to respect it and say, you know what, if we're going to talk about business, let's put a meeting together, even if it's 30 minutes on the living room couch. Then it's designated, and both parties know that it is a business discussion and not encroach in the personal time.
I would agree. Great. I would definitely. And respecting the other person's point of view and not taking the personal into it, and making sure that you know that that person is making a decision that is for business, and not judge them and or make a assumption or something based on how they have done things personally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just like the Godfather. It's business. It's not personal, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
I know you like that movie too.
So I'll have a follow-on question to this, but we'll start with this. Hot or not, business succession planning?
Hot.
Hot.
You mentioned, not just international, or not just nationally, but potentially internationally. So yes. As you kind of look to the future, how do you see the business succession working for your agency?
I think the agency, or any business for that matter, any business that has the ability to be sold, that's a huge compliment to the founders of it, because you're saying that you've done something right and it's appealing to someone, right? Mm-hmm. So the ideal succession plan is that, first of all, there's somebody interested in acquiring it. Mm-hmm. That really is what it comes out to. But if it wasn't to be acquired, and if it was to be just run and by those that are part of the succession plan, then what's really nice about it is you're saying that you've set the right foundation mm-hmm. that one can build on. And I would say that that's really what my recommendation when I meet with business owners is, making sure that you set the right foundation, and it's never too late.
Okay.
Hot or not, taking on equity partners?
Could be hot. Is there warm? I know.
Lukewarm.
It's lukewarm.
So we got a lukewarm here. Kathy, taking on equity partners.
Yeah, I would say...
maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, any thoughts on why you say that?
Well, I think that when you bring on an equity partner, you're hoping that you're bringing with them, you're getting with them their skill set to help the business along, and much like the Shark Tank, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so if that person is there just to be an equity partner and not bring anything into it, I think then it's just money. So what difference is it then you going to the bank and or to your family and not bringing on a partner? It's better to just take the money. But if they do actually bring skill set that can be beneficial to the business, then of course.
So I know that all of us work in different industries, but those industries can be pretty crowded, and indeed, it's important to differentiate yourself. And you kind of hit on this a little bit about one of your primary philosophies, I guess, with regard to this is your marketing arm. So share with the audience a little bit about how you plan to differentiate yourself for the benefit of those individuals that you're bringing on under this new model.
I'd say for the insurance industry as a whole, we are, and I say we, speaking on behalf of the insurance industry, we're really behind the times. I think that a lot of the, specifically to financial services, Brad, banks have done a great job in moving into the new space where the clients, customers, I was so impressed. I'm sorry, I got to tell you this. We're in Hydra in Greece, and we're in a remote island where there's no cars and whatnot, and I go to an ATM, and within 3 seconds, I have my money and a balance that gets printed on a receipt.
Sure.
And here, I'm thinking to myself, if we can do this in a bank, why couldn't we do this in the insurance industry? Mm-hmm. Why couldn't we? And I think that there is a lot of room for improvement. And I think that as a whole, we need to embrace it. And what's really unfortunate is that, for the most part, I know that insurance industry as a whole, they've been reluctant. And so I think as a distribution channel, I think as the creators, if you will, the manufacturers of the product. What do you think, Kat?
I agree. I think that specifically with the insurance industry, I think, you know, they're so large, it's like moving dinosaurs and getting them, you know, into the high speed technology that we're in. And so we have a responsibility, and I think that we're in the right spot at the right time.
Where do you think that reluctance comes from? What is the reluctance, or where does it come from? From the insurance industry, just in particular?
I'd say funding. They don't want to fund it.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of the insurance companies think to themselves that, well, is it money well spent? And so typically most of the insurance companies, and that's not all, there are some that are in the right place at the right time, and they're directly marketing to the consumer. Mm-hmm. But for most of the insurance companies, I think it's easier for them to acquire somebody that has the technology.
And now I'm dominating, and Dan's being very gracious because I've probably taken about 3 questions away from him. But how do you plan to do that?
Kathy.
Michael.
Well, we are partnering with the right insurance companies. We are, and I say that because it is important that, to your question of differentiating ourselves, is the insurance consumer typically thinks that I have an insurance policy and it has my name on it, and so it's a declaration page, so I must be covered. And most of them really don't know. And Dan, because he actually does the teaching of the insurance and risk management also, and he is a very, very successful business doing it, and often he finds consumers that are well knowledgeable, and they know, and they think that they have coverage. Right, Dan?
That's correct.
And what do they find when there's a claim?
They find that they don't, or they don't have as much as they thought.
Right.
Yep. So is it my turn again?
It is absolutely your
because
turn.
Because I want to talk about girls.
Okay.
Talk about women, and I'm going straight to Kathy. Woman-owned business in insurance, and it was brought up earlier that it's a male-dominated industry still all these years later.
Yes.
There are a number, and I know from teaching, there are a number of women in insurance. However, predominantly they're in service positions. What's it going to take to find a way to encourage more women to take on a higher leadership type of a role and some of those higher level in insurance? What do you think?
Well, I think they need to educate themselves.
Okay.
I think they don't give themselves enough credit more often than not. The women that are in those service roles know a heck of a lot more than
they do
give themselves credit for. They're multitaskers, and I think that it needs to be known to get out there that it's, you know, you can do this. There's so many, I see it in the industry. Michael and I both have seen it in the industry, just going to events and organizations that five years ago, there wasn't as many women at these events. And lately we've been seeing the balance go from mostly men to mostly women. And so I think it's getting out there. There's a lot of organizations that are promoting women in business. There's diversity. And I think especially the Seattle area, that we're all about diversity. And I think that the women, it's a strong, powerful thing. And I think that we just have to motivate them.
So you'll forgive me for plugging your model a little bit, but this would seem to be an ideal place because I do know that there's that women gets in agencies and businesses, and there's no opportunities really for them to get into higher levels. With your model, they can say, I can control my own destiny, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
And with our marketing help, And what's, I'll tell you, most of the insurance producers that I have known have been great relationship builders. And it's really interesting because Kathy and I were talking about this, and I've known a lot more women that are better at relationships than guys are. And really, it has to do with the remembering the dates of birth of the kids and the what the CEO likes or dislikes, or what the assistant of the CEO likes or dislikes. And most guys don't know that stuff. And Kathy does. And so it's really interesting that they haven't had the confidence to step out into it.
So in the good old boys network, the good old boy's dying, isn't he? Or is he dead?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a question, but I'm going to defer it till after the break because okay. I know we need to roll into that.
Yes, I am getting the high sign from Sue that it's time for our next break. And after that break, after we hear from our sponsors and when we come back with our guests, Michael and Kathy Oskuyan, for our very famous Plead the Fifth section of the show, we're going to find out, we're going to ask them to comment on Flo and the Geico Gecko and get their opinions about both of them. So don't walk away. You won't want to miss it. We'll be right back with more from the Shrimp Tank.
The Seattle Shrimp Tank is brought to you by Toro Consulting. Dan Whedon helps small and medium-sized business owners and entrepreneurs to grow, develop, and protect their business to create a better life for themselves and their employees. Dan helps companies to improve revenue generation, accelerate leadership development, and ferociously protect profits. If you'd like a complimentary 30-minute consultation with Dan as a Shrimp Tank listener, then text Shrimp Tank to 360-271-1592 or email at dan@danweedon.com to schedule your time. Contact Dan today to get started on dramatically improving your business and life. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, where we interview the best and brightest CEOs in the greater Puget Sound area. I'm Brad Berger, along with my esteemed co-host Dan Whedon, and you can always catch a replay of the podcast at seattle.shrimptankpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, and for our next segment, Plead the Fifth.
Love, this is my favorite section, Kathy and Michael, because what happens is Brad and I are going to ask you some questions. Now, you can plead the fifth, but you can only plead the fifth once. Just once.
Just once.
Otherwise, it's kind of like truth or dare.
Oh, boy.
And at the end, you win absolutely nothing. Now, moving out, I mentioned about Flo and the Gecko Geico. No, the Gecko Geico.
The Geico Gecko.
The Geico, I can't even say it.
Gecko, yes.
We get the idea.
We get a lot of, you can watch, if you were watching any of the March Madness tournament, there is a guarantee of at least one insurance commercial every time out. For both of you, plead the fifth. What's the biggest misconception of the insurance industry right now for people?
That we're all the same. And the fact that when you look at a homeowner's insurance policy and you think that, yes, you can go to the Gecko, and if you live in Seattle and you're on a hill, and which is probably where you are, you don't know about coverages that your policy doesn't have. And the Gecko doesn't tell you that. They're cute, they're funny, and they make the consumer call, but they don't get knowledgeable about what they're missing. If you have a wine collection, a gun collection, and whatnot, there's a lot of things that your policy doesn't have with Geico because they're serving the masses. And so most often a person thinks, well, I'm one of those. And now, especially, and Dan, I don't know about you, but I've inherited some things from my folks, and they have some value. And quite frankly, a lot of folks our ages are getting to that point. And so these all need to be scheduled. They're worth something. And if you have not gone through someone that understands your policy, then yes, the commercials do their job. They make the person call, but you're not knowledgeable about what you don't have.
Yeah, that's an area I know professionally. I talk a lot about this in my book. I know, Dan, you're an author as well, about the importance of your financial team reviewing that on a regular basis. And even though we do that, and we are not displacing the role the property and casualty agent plays, it is amazing how many individuals are underinsured or think that their agent asked them all the questions that they should be asked. One of the things that just infuriates me, and I plead the fifth, Kathy, on this one, but the name your price tool.
Oh, yes. That's, yeah, I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I you know, the thing that I find...
$1, I want to pay $1.
You know, I'm reserving the plea the fifth. I don't know what questions are coming on.
We usually start, I have one, I have...
And I have another one, so go ahead.
I'm going to ask Michael, since he brings it up. Oh. Okay, here we go. With Kathy looking on, Michael, plead the fifth, your celebrity crush.
Ooh.
I know that one.
Oh, well, it's good that you know it.
Heather Locklear.
Right. And you're thinking to yourself, Kathy, I'm not worried because not a chance? Is that the deal?
Oh, no. Well, here's what's interesting.
Oh, no, there's a story there.
We need to hear it then.
Well, I'll make it brief. We were in, it was Thanksgiving some years back, and we were on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills and happened to walk into the Ralph Lauren or Polo store. I don't know what they're called. But anyway, we're in there, and I just happened to look up, and here she is, and with her mother-in-law or mother, I can't remember. Anyway, shopping. So I told her that I'm a fan, and of course, I said I would love to have an autograph, and she said, how about a kiss, cutie? And so I come back down, and I tell Kathy the story. She's like, right. And so just as she says that, Heather Locklear says, bye, Michael. She's like, Kathy's like, oh, my goodness. All okay. Right.
I think Heather Locklear would have become my immediate celebrity crush if that had happened to me, too. That's a great story.
All right. Well, then, you know, turnabout is fair play. So yeah. One of the things that we learned before the show, Kathy, is that you and Michael have some cats.
Yes.
And
we have two.
Yeah, Sebastian and Simon. Yes. Right? So plead the fifth. Which cat does Michael most look like? Simon or Sebastian?
That's awesome question.
Simon.
Okay, and why?
Oh, man, I'm dead.
Simon is a prankster.
Mm-hmm.
He has a bigger head.
Is
this physically or like figuratively?
Sue,
figuratively.
Are you going to shut her mic off?
Oh. And he's adorable, though. You cannot. He does things, and then he makes this move or looks at you, and you just start laughing, and you can't get mad at him.
So I have a big head, and I'm adorable.
Hey, those aren't bad qualities.
I guess so.
I take them. At least you didn't plead the fifth. Right.
Yeah, she had no intention.
She jumped on the opportunity to answer that, didn't she?
She absolutely did. So I have a plead the fifth. I'm gonna throw it to Michael, okay. And it's a little bit more serious. But I'm very curious at your answer on this.
Sure,
Michael. What's the best outside of insurance? So I'm gonna preface this. What's the best business idea that you have that you've never used?
Ooh. Well, I'm seeing them being used now. I think that as our population gets older, I think that we don't focus really on being able to serve the so-called seniors. I think they have the ability to do so, and they have a lot of pride, and rightfully so. And I think to be able to serve our mature public better. Okay. That's what I would like to, and I have not done what I would like to about it.
If you could pick one thing, because this subject's close to my heart, as you know, because we've known each other a while, both my parents right. struggled near the end of the life. If there's one thing that you could make easier for them, what would it be?
I would say a concierge service for the elderly. So instead of them having to go out there and find a person that is a handyman and a person that is a cook and a person that is a landscaper and whatnot, going to a person, one person that has all of those contacts where they don't have to worry about trusting them. Just one person you trust, and that person takes care of it all.
Nice.
And do you see the ability to expand that into your business?
No.
Okay, fair. I mean, that's fair enough. And from a entrepreneur standpoint, let me ask you why.
Because today, I think that most of the mature public wants to stay and in their homes. They want to enjoy their independence. And I think just small things, such as where most of the companies are deferring and utilizing the artificial intelligence, and they're sending people to the web and to do that. I think that's a little bit mysterious. I think that most people have heard enough horror stories, we all have, about a person that was taken advantage of. And so what I think would be right is for them to know someone that was really close to their heart that they could trust, and they would have the appropriate tools and resources that would bring that to them.
Great. Thank you.
I have one. We're running out of time. I have one more plead the fifth. It's going to be for Kathy. And I'd like to hear what you would say on this. And I don't think you're going to plead the fifth. What are you doing in 2017 to improve yourself professionally? What are you doing specifically in this year to say, I'm going to work on this because this is where I want to improve professionally?
I am now currently listening to a lot more podcasts. That's something that I have.
Shrimp Tank.
Of the Shrimp Tank.
Of yeah, the Shrimp
particularly.
Tank.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You are subscribed on iTunes.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, it's interesting, not to answer for her, but we were talking about having coaching as well. Mm-hmm. Coaching, how
audiobooks,
important it is.
Yeah. So that's a big one.
Well, Michael and Kathy, we want to thank you so much for coming on the program today. It goes fast,
thank
doesn't it?
Thank you for having us. Yeah. Thank you for having us.
But for our listeners that want to get in touch with you or learn more about your company, how can they get more information?
www.firstunderwriters.com.
And that is FirstUnderwriters.com.
Okay. And is there a phone number?
425-242-5357.
And if you prefer an 800 number, it's 1-888-58. You are first.
Oh, excellent. That's awesome. Yeah. So our next show will be on Wednesday, April 19th, and we'll be interviewing Craig Adams of Paul's Bow Animal Clinic. Make sure you check out all the replays on seattle.shrimptankpodcast.com. And you know what, Dan? That's going to be...
I'm reunited with JB.
You are reunited with JB. I will be absent.
And it feels so good. Now, that's my first live singing rendition there. How did you like it?
Well,
I'll be with JB. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I think what we're going to do is we're going to move on.
Okay.
All right. So we always like to remind our listeners, remember, to become a shark, we all start out as shrimps. Shrimp tank, big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do, and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie, keep going. You know the saying, you can reap what you're sowing. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'm a leader. The charge like a federal fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.